Our Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to hear that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become a level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will cry, he will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson comes from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent. Do be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the first chapter. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes the more number of times that we hear something, it becomes less meaningful to us. Like when you hear, and I'm dating myself with this one, JCPenney or Sears. Remember when they were the big stores out there? You know, they were having a one-day sale or a three-hour sale, or Kohl's has their yellow dot sale, or Walmart has electronics sale where you can get a 97-inch screen TV for $300 or something ridiculous. Anyway, why would you want a TV that big? Anyways, that's beside the point. And you got to get there because it's a deal. You're saving money. So you got to get there right away. Now, there's a sense of urgency. That's what the entire advertising world's about, is creating a sense of urgency. You need to go there at this particular time and place, and then, of course, once they get you in the store, they've moved everything around on you. So when you're looking for what's on sale, you pass by all this other stuff. You ever notice your grocery cart fills up? It's magic how that happens. I didn't put it in there, Susan, really. It jumped in there all by itself, and I had to pay for it. You know, we don't really need sometimes the items, but you ever get them anyway? Now, I guess if toilet paper's on sale, you might as well get it right now, because you just never know with that one. All right? But then you realize, you know what? We hear about these sales all the time. And it starts to lose a bit of its impact. Because guess what? Back in the day, Sears and JCPenney's had sales. Or when Kohl's has their yellow dot sale, you realize most of the stuff with the yellow dot on, you didn't want anyway. All right? As I said, the whole purpose of advertising is to create a sense of urgency. Sometimes I think with the church, we run into the same danger of, we hear the same thing again and again. It loses its real sense of urgency. Now, we talk about the spiritual side of church, you know, the sharing, caring, and singing part of it. And by the way, churches have their own advertising. They'll say, "We are the friendliest church." Now, most of them lie on the next one. They say they have the best pastor. They don't, because you do. Just remaining humble here for a second. Or we have the best Sunday school, or we have the best music program. Even churches get into the whole advertising aspect of it. This time of the year, we get saturated with the same message. We've heard the words of John the Baptist for many, many years. John the Baptist was very different, though, from any other prophet who had come before him. Well, first of all, his clothing was rather different. Don't you like that camel's hair? Boy, that sounds really comfortable. No wonder he was a little testy. His clothes were itching him. Leather belt, and don't you just love this, locusts with wild honey. Just dip them in and bite their little heads off. There you go. Now, John the Baptist probably would have been a perfect contestant for Survivor. If you can wear those kind of clothes and eat that kind of food, you would have been perfect for it, but I'm sure he'd been voted off the island for everything he said. John the Baptist was certainly not a politician. All right? He doesn't use cliche words like love, caring, and sharing. He was a terrible politician because he actually said what he thought. You know the old joke, how do you know a politician's lying? His lips are moving. John the Baptist, I mean, he just said exactly the way it was. He was not a salesman. He told the people exactly what needed to be heard then, not what they needed to hear or wanted to hear, I should say, but what they needed to hear. And John the Baptist's message goes right to the heart. What would John the Baptist say to you? If he sat across the table from you, what would he say? Today in our Advent wreath, we've lit the second candle, which is known as the Bethlehem candle, which reminds us that generally speaking, when the Bethlehem candle's lit, within a couple of days either way, Christmas is generally about 2 weeks away. You sort of get it, two more candles to go, 2 more weeks. See how all that works? Yes, each candle, by the way, has its own particular name. But I think John the Baptist would say to each and every one of us, Christmas is near. Are you prepared? There's words that were spoken of John from the prophet Isaiah. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Yes, I think John would be saying, Christmas is on the way, and also, are you prepared for the second coming of Christ? Christmas is coming, and are you prepared for the second coming? And John had all the credentials to be able to say these things because he was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah nearly 700 years before he was born, that this was the message he was going to be bringing the people. Now, what about the caring and sharing part of Christmas? I asked the question, what would John say to you? And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance. See, people don't like to hear that word, repent, because you know what that means? There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with me. And a lot of times people will respond, I'm okay. I take care of my responsibilities. I'm not perfect, but I try. All right? The very fact that we're admitting we're not perfect is why we need to repent, because God demands perfection. Yes. You didn't know that, did you? Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He wants perfect actions. He wants perfect thoughts. He wants perfect words. He wants the perfect husband and wife. He wants the perfect child, wants a perfect worker, the perfect neighbor, the perfect friend. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Problem is, it's just not the case. We're not perfect. We are sinful people, and we do need to repent. There's 3 R's, if you want to remember the 3 R's of repentance. The first one is to recognize the sin. To look in the mirror and say, yes, I am a sinner in need of God's forgiveness. We recognize that our thought, word, and deeds, by both what we've done and not done, have broken God's holy law. So we recognize our sin. We confess our sins. The second R is receiving forgiveness. Verse 4 talks about a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Because of Christ, our sins are forgiven. People went to John for baptism, to be forgiven of their sins. Today, we receive the forgiveness of sins, yes, in baptism. We receive it in the Lord's Supper, and we also receive the message of forgiveness in the spoken word. The third R of repentance is reforming. Boy, that's one of the rare times you ever hear the word reformed in a Lutheran church that's spoken of positively. Sorry, I just suddenly looked down and went, I never thought I'd see the word reformed in one of my sermons without some derogatory comment following it. But reforming. So if we're impatient, we reform and become more patient. If we're bad-tempered, we try to become more gentle. If we struggle with greed, we try to be more generous. When we disobey God and then make excuses for why we did it, we reform ourselves to obeying God and trying desperately hard to obey what He says. The question is, but how do I do this? How do I find the courage to confess all of my sins to God? How do I know I'm really forgiven? Where can I find the strength to change my life? How does this change take place? What would John the Baptist say to you? After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. Someone greater than any one of us is to come. Excuse me. We are given the courage to confess. We are given the strength to change because of what Jesus did for us. All of that takes place because of his perfect life, his death, and resurrection. The gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost is what gives us continually that power to strive to be more like our Heavenly Father. This time of the year, there's recipes for absolutely everything. Every family's got its own special recipes, like for eggnog and cookies, all right? Black-eyed peas, turnip greens, all the good things of life. Stuffing. People have recipes for stuffing. I didn't know that. I thought you just took it out of the box, mixed water in, and shoved it in the bird. No, I found out, oh no, it's a lot more complicated than that, Pastor. You've got to put all these other spices. These are secret spices. Then how do you know how to buy them? But that's beside the point. By the way, I would not want John the Baptist's recipes for his food. So, John, how do you eat the gooey part of the locust? Do you dip it in a little honey first, or what? A little water, a little wine? What do you mix it with? Oh. Sorry, I can't get over his diet part of that. I don't think... The only reason he was out in the desert, and I'm convinced of this, is because nobody would want John over for dinner. Can I get another plate of those bugs, please? Anyway, I'm off on another tangent. How does that happen? It's all Randy's fault. All right. There is a recipe, by the way, for a perfect Christmas. To have a heart full of repentance and a heart full of Christ. And during the Christmas season and during the entire church year, we practice the three R's. And we ponder the majesty of Christ. Christmas is successful when we repent and focus on Christ. Because Christmas is far more than a bunch of slick advertising or a whole bunch of old cliches. But Christmas is very empty when repentance is taken out of it and the focus on Christ is taken out of it. Because someone greater than you and I is coming. Greater than John the Baptist. And it says in the Bible that there is no man who has ever lived, born of a woman, that was greater than John the Baptist. Christ is. Christ is greater than all of us, either combined or individually. He's someone who brings a real meaning to the special time of the year. So repent and focus on Christ. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.